I want to talk about sports for a second. Mississippi high school sports for a second. And I want to question the decision-making of the Mississippi High School Athletics Association. I think they have made a terrible decision. And what it does, what this decision does, is it explains why Mississippi is dead last in so many things, well beyond athletic ability. It's an absolute embarrassment what they've done. And with just blatant disregard to common sense, they have punished a kid for working too hard. They have punished a child for wanting to smash through that glass ceiling. Everything that they teach us we're supposed to do, everything they teach us that we train hard for, whether it's athletic competition, your job, your music, podcasting, whatever your line of work is, whatever your passion is, you're supposed to want to do that. The 10,000-hour rule, the more you do it, the better you get. The more you do it, the better you get. They are punishing a child. I'm going to tell you the story here, but I want to make sure I'm as hyperbolic as possible, because I'm hyper pissed off about it. They're punishing a kid for working too hard. Either that, or the parents of the kid that always comes in second place, he's got somebody they're really good friends with at the MHSAA. And either one is ridiculous. But here's the story over here. I shared this to my Facebook page. There's a screenshot of a post made by an Instagram account, unofficial MSTFXX. It's a cross country running, so I don't understand all the abbreviations. But it says MHSAA has banned, what's his name? Andrew Brown. So MHSAA has banned Brown and declared the Tupelo High School star ineligible for the rest of the 2024 outdoor track season for running in the New Balance Indoor Nationals High School Championship race. And it says here again, it says, fastest freshman miler in Mississippi history declared ineligible for outdoor track season. MHSAA has banned Tupelo High superstar Andrew Brown for the rest of the season. His crime, you may be asking? Clay, what could he have possibly done to be banned? Was it steroids? Did he commit a crime? Domestic abuse? Drinking and driving? What could this kid possibly have done to be banned? To have the one thing in life he loves taken from him? Huh. His crime? Running in the New Balance Nationals Indoor High School Championships in Boston earlier this month. Now, you know, Mississippi does not sanction indoor running. Baseball players get to gallivant around. I love baseball players, and I'm making fun of y'all. Baseball players get to play in every version of baseball midseason they want. Basketball as well. I'm going to read, this is from his mother here. I'm going to read this post to y'all. And look, we don't talk a lot of sports on this show. This ain't a sports show. But stuff like this affects all of us. These are the people who are involved at the molecular level of decision-making for our children's future. If you got a kid in high school, a grandkid in high school, junior high, whatever, these are the idiots that are deciding their future. So here we go. This is from Candace Taylor Brown. So anyone ever wonder who builds these glass ceilings or why our state constantly comes up dead last? If they do it to my athlete, who's to say they won't do it to yours next? I'll let y'all decide. #timeforchange. She goes, for clarity and to answer everyone's question at once. We were told that he was in violation of Rule 6.2.3, page 54 of the MHSAA handbook, stating he couldn't run in any event unattached, meaning not registered as running for our school. In the same letter, it states he was in violation by running in an indoor meet after the outdoor season had already began. Here's the catch. Mississippi does not have an indoor track season. Today, a MHSAA official who received the anonymous complaint told Jim that this rule applies to Andrew because now this is the part that grinds my gears. This rule applies to Andrew because now he has an unfair advantage over the other athletes going into the outdoor track season. Then she says, it sounds worse now that I've typed it out. So this kid decided to grind hard, 10X rule, leave it all on the table. Go and excel, try to be better at his craft. And Mississippi said, no, you can't do that. You can't get better. We got to raise the floor, not the ceiling. We're going to bring the bottom up. We're going to lower the ceiling down a little bit. You can't practice. You can't go get better. You can't try too hard. I want y'all's opinions on this. And the rule is not clear. He runs outdoor for the school. Mississippi does not sanction indoor. Clearly not the same sport. Very different. So he's being punished for going and doing a different kind of running. The Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. Phone line this morning, 601-879-0002. Here's my recommendation. I know they didn't anticipate me getting involved in this. Somebody sent this to me, and I've been fired up about it since I saw it. My recommendation is call the MHSAA and blow their phone line up and let them know how absolutely ridiculous this is. And I'm going to effort a phone number. In the meanwhile, we got Chris Hinkle on the line. Chris, good morning. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. I'm going to try to keep this out of politics, but it will be slightly talking politics.
Hold on. We've run out of time. Can you call back at the top of the hour?
Yeah, I'll call back at the top of the hour.
All right, because I want to hear what you got to say. All right, we ran out of time. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, we don't have about a minute left in this hour. Coming back at the top of the hour, we're going to talk more about this MHSAA debacle and them telling all kids, don't you try hard. Don't you try to be better than the next guy. That's not fair. This is diversity, equity, and inclusion at its worst right here. We're going to diversify and dumb things on down because the other kids don't want to try as hard as you do, so we're going to punish you, not them. That makes all the sense in the world. No wonder we're so last in so many things when that's the mindset around here. I got their contact information. I'm going to give it to you here at the top of the next hour. We'll be right back. Just concerning this, the Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. Frisco says, like all of the other athletes, haven't been training until the outdoor track season starts. That's BS. Unknown texter. If he was transgendered, would he have been banned from competition? You know, I kind of hinted around at that very thing, my friend. Of course he wouldn't. He'd be, look how much. Then they would tell you as he was beating girls, they'd say, well, it's because he runs more races. Look at him. He's working harder. She's working harder. All grind. You know. All that Monday motivation crap, they like to say. Oh, yeah, 100%. I swear, I'm at the point where I just think that these NCAA folks, these high school athletic folks, I think they just want a transgender person on the roster just so they can. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's makes no sense to me. I'm at a loss for words for once. Let's take a call. Hey, good morning. You're on there.
Morning, dummy. How you doing?
I am good. How about yourself?
All right. By the way, you ought to listen. This is Kingfish.
Hey.
You ought to listen to, you're talking about transgender. Rogan has got an interview with Riley Gaines from like a couple of weeks ago.
Phenomenal.
I highly recommend listening to the first half hour to 45 minutes of it. Seriously. She gets into the whole details of the swimming mess that she had to endure.
Well,
it was unbelievable.
The part that really just kind of left me speechless was when they tied and they said,
yeah,
tranny gets the trophy. Sorry.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that was interesting was they aren't allowed to speak out because they were telling them, in your scholarship, you signed away your First Amendment rights. Well, if you want to go take the knee and all that kind of crap and go protest, but if you protest this one, all of a sudden, you don't have any free speech rights. I mean, that, like I said, it's really worth, you can tell the audience, it's really worth listening to.
It is, 100%.
That's not why I called you. You were talking about the Tupelo runner.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was in high school way back when ran track, we had actually had a short indoor season at LSU because they had the field house there. You don't have that in Mississippi. But the scuttlebutt on this, since you're not going to like what I'm about to say, is your friends over at Pearl are the ones who turned this guy in because they're the biggest competition for this guy.
Well, look,
they're serious.
Well, maybe so, but I guess my point being more so than who's responsible for turning him in is that the rule doesn't clearly say no indoor running.
No. But you got to be attached to a team, and since you don't have indoor season in Mississippi, well, there you go, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Shouldn't have.
I mean, once again, we're a backwards podunk state. I mean, what do you want me to say? We don't even have indoor track fields in this state like other states do.
Ridiculous. I wish we had wrestling here.
You know, we actually have it in Louisiana, and I wish we had it here, too. It's a great sport. It's great for kids. And by the way, guys, it helps you against the karate guys who get into a real fight. But it's a great sport. I wish we had it here. You know, I grew up in Baton Rouge, and, you know, several of the schools there had it, and it's a great sport. Of course, whenever they have exhibitions down there and they bring in a team from Iowa, you can just imagine what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Iowa, Minnesota.
This is one of these deals where you come in third and you're happy, you know?
Yep. Iowa, Minnesota, man. The flyover states, man, they like their high school and college wrestling.
And let me tell you something. You have to be in shape for it. I mean, I wrestled a little bit at my high school, and I was already on the track team, and I was a sprinter. I was a greyhound, okay? First time I wrestled, went out and puked.
Look, man, I went in.
It's a whole different kind of being in shape.
I went in precision jiu-jitsu up there in Gluckstadt a few weeks ago to drop off a shirt to Anthony Mitchell, and I just watched in awe, man. Those guys, that whole thing's a big mat, and everybody's doing their own thing, and it's kind of the closest thing to kind of Greco-Roman that I can relate it
to
is rolling around on the mat doing jiu-jitsu. And, man, those guys look so exhausted and so spent. You can just see the sweat pouring out of them. I was like, my God, man, I would die. But, man, I nothing but respect for them. I mean, I wish I had the wherewithal to do it.
Well, yeah, it's like boxing, you know. I mean, you know, you have, I don't know if they change, right? We had three-minute rounds, you know. I mean, and that don't sound like much. So all of a sudden, you have to use all the muscles in your body and, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a boxing match, you know, has its high points and slow points. You know, you don't have that in wrestling. It's constantly, you know, from the very minute you start, boom. You know, you don't let up until it's over, period.
Man, I tell people all the time, just go try to fight for a minute. You know,
everybody's
a tough guy. Go try to fight for a minute. You may can knock somebody out, but can you swing on it and go for a minute? With your adrenaline and everything else, most people would be blowed up so quick they wouldn't know what to do.
Do you remember the Tough Man contest when they had them back at rodeos?
Yeah, hell, we used to do them down at Crazy 8 too.
Yeah, well, I remember it was always funny to watch. You see these bodybuilder types just sculpted, you know, including one guy named Jason O, I think he used to work at Time Out or something like that. And they'd come out there for like the first minute and a half, and I mean, just world beaters. I mean, they're just throwing everything there. They're looking like somebody off of TV, you know. Then all of a sudden, about 90 seconds into it, they ran out of gas.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy I'm talking about, Jason, he comes out there like that, and then he's taking on this short little, this little skinny guy, right? And he ought to be just knocking him through the ropes, which he didn't do. And then once, and the guy just waited. And he was jabbing him a little. He knew how to jab a little bit, okay? So he was jabbing him a little bit just to keep him going. And then all of a sudden, once the guy really wore out, then he then, it was like Ali Foreman. He, then he came off the ropes for the next round and a half, and then, I mean, he just beat the living stew out of him.
Yeah.
And bodybuilder was so worn out, he couldn't even raise his arm. I mean, it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was at that point, watching those tough man contests, I'd have been in my early 20s. It's at that point you realize that fighting and bodybuilding are two different skill sets. just because yes, just because you're a bodybuilder does not mean you're also a fighter, and obviously vice versa.
Oh, man, the people at the dock used to hate Tough Man Night because they'd have extra security, because then what would happen is they'd all, you know, after rodeos, they'd all go out to the dock and the reservoir. And then, of course, the losers would always get drunk, and, of course, they were still mad they got beat, so they want rematches, or they would just want to take it out on somebody, you know. So whenever they had Tough Man Contest, it was extra security at the dock. I believe they were just like, oh, great, here it comes, you know.
Yep, yeah. Well, trust me, the nights we had it at Crazy 8, we had way more fights in the crowd than we did in the ring.
Yeah. Anyway, got a couple of great stories coming up on the website later today. One that's going to be a big surprise to everybody, but you'll just have to wait and see. So,
JacksonJambalaya.com. Kingfish. Thank you, brother.
All right. See ya. Bye. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, like he said the scuttlebutt is Pearl is the ones who may have snitched the kid out. But that's not, to me, that's not the story. I mean, that's competition. That is what it is. I was a cheer dad, and the cheering is equally as dramatic as that can be. So I understand a lot of that stuff. There's parents. I understand parents being parents. I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. My problem is the rule, and it just basically says, don't you try to be too good now. That's how this comes across. All right, we got Chris Hinkle on the line here, our retired FBI agent on the wall.
Yeah, so what my experience with this was back in about 2014-15 time frame, and it was Mississippi High School Activity Association put in place a rule, because at the time Madison Central soccer team was nationally ranked and was just dominating in the state. The boys team won four straight 6A championships in a row. The girls team won three straight 6A championships in a row. And some people up in North Mississippi began complaining, saying it's because of their access to the club circuit here, that, you know, these club teams were being put together and they were getting an unfair advantage. So I had a conversation with the very elderly gentleman that's over soccer, who I would gather doesn't even know the soccer rules at Mississippi High School Activity Association. And I said, isn't the goal here to be able to help these kids further their education? Wouldn't you want them to be able to train and develop their skill so that they get an opportunity to advance their education? He said, absolutely. Well, they put a rule in place that said if you had seven players on your high school roster, starting roster, that were also playing club soccer, that you couldn't have seven on there, that it would disqualify the match. But then they turned around and they gave an alibi to Tupelo High School because they don't have as many club soccer teams in their area. So it was a way to go out and target the clubs. And at that time, you had a very good under-17 team in local club soccer. They actually had to choose between playing club soccer or playing high school soccer. And they ended up having to disband their club soccer team because of the rules of Mississippi High School Activity Association. They need to do away with just the whole concept of that. They have no compunction about anything that they do. And they talk a good game. They talk about fairness. They talk about you know, advancing students advancing students academically in athletics, but it's nothing like that. They don't support the officials out there, whether it's football or soccer. Heck, last year we had a referee in a North State championship game get all four of his tires slashed. School didn't suffer any penalties whatsoever. It's a useless organization that's out there just trying to tweak things based on the complaints of a very connected few.
Let me ask you this, Chris. You may know this, and I was kind of shooting from the hip earlier. Let's use baseball, or softball for that matter, as examples here. My sister played softball from the time she could walk until she finished up college out at Hines. I know for a fact she was playing multiple teams at any given one time. I mean, do these same rules, is this strictly for track and field? Or what am I trying to say here, you know, where you can kind of play two seasons within one?
They just give the rules that, well, it's outside the season. So when you have youth travel baseball, you know, during the summer. So as soon as the baseball season's over with, most of these kids, at least the top ones, play on the same travel team. Mm-hmm. And they're out doing travel baseball. The same thing with soccer. That's why you have different soccer seasons. You have fall, winter, spring, summer soccer seasons around the nation. It's just however they want to manipulate it for the select few. The way I look at it is if you've got the opportunity and access to the highest levels of training, the highest levels of competition, to me, that's a good thing because it opens up doors. And I can tell you, as many kids that play baseball here and football here, I've been around all of these sports with my kids, soccer will open more doors in the state of Mississippi than anything to get your first 2 years of education out of the way. I mean, we've got the highest concentration of junior colleges. And those kids, if they're really good, can get a chance to go play at a junior college. And if they do well in the classroom, get a Phi Theta Kappa scholarship for making the Honor Society that will pay for their next 2 years of school. And on top of that, they get a chance to go play at a four-year university after that. And if I'm a coach and I've got a kid that's good in the classroom, he's got 2 years of starting and playing soccer under his belt, and he's coming over to my school with up to $14,000 a year in his pocket toward school, man, I'm bringing that kid on my team. So all of these things, they don't help the kids out, all these extra rules. And there is no consultation with the parents or anything like that from Mississippi High School Activities Association. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Chris, we got a great text here on the Guns and Gear text line from Steve. He says, wow, sports, politics sounds a lot like a swamp.
You know, It is. If you go over there and visit with those guys, the people that are in charge of those sports, they're so far removed from even playing those sports. Like I said, the guy that I dealt with, I think he might be a nice guy, but he has no concept of what goes on with kids in a sport or even how to officiate that sport. Here's the last thing I'll say, and I got to go. I did some soccer officiating for a while at the high school level. I did club, high school, and college level. And we were having some parents that were complaining about the number of fouls that were being called during the game. Well, for a foul to be called during the game, it has to be observed by the official, and the official makes a determination on whether or not to let play continue or stop play because of the foul. So the answer that we got from Mississippi High School Activities Association, because people were saying, well, there's too many fouls being called, their answer was just call less fouls. So we're just supposed to let the kids go out there and run over each other, cause concussions, put themselves in danger and all this, because some people, I guess, that are connected are complaining about too many penalties being called during a game. I mean, it is ridiculous. But it's typical government. What do they say? Anything that the government regulates or subsidizes gets more expensive and becomes less productive.
Thank you, Chris. Have a blessed day, brother.
All right, brother. Oh. Bye-bye.
All right, this is the Clay Edwards Show. Hey, guys, are you looking for pizza tonight for dinner? Acme Pizza and Daiquiri is right there, Fan and Mart on the Reservoir, 4 p.m. to midnight. Delivery, carry out, and, of course, dine-in. available 7 nights a week. Go see Chip Matthews and the team out there. You know I want to say it. Try the pig. We were talking about this the other day. My girlfriend got a pizza from somewhere, and she had just got pepperoni. I've been trying to convert her over to Canadian bacon and ham. And she's like, it's just the fresh ham is just so much better because it melts down in there, and it's just Anyway, get over there to Acme Pizza and Daiquiri. Try one of the 12 different specialty pizzas. Again, I recommend the pig because that bacon and that ham and that pulled pork, the smoked fresh on site, cooks into the pizza. Get the extra cheese. You won't regret it. But you can try one of their Wheel of Flavor pizzas, and there's 3 different pizzas on top of one pie. And, of course, they have daiquiris, 9 different ones, frozen, ready to go for delivery and carry out. That's right. You can get their daiquiris to go, put them in your deep freeze, save them for a rainy day. This is the Clay Edwards Show. We'll be right back.